I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I 100% agree with the president on the fact that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. I've seen that just in the negotiation that we've had over the last couple of days, that these are tough negotiators, but they're fundamentally the kinds of people where them having a nuclear weapon would impose terrible costs on the entire world. If they're willing to engage in economic terrorism on the entire world, what would it mean? What leverage would they have if they had a nuclear bomb in Tehran? That's not an outcome that is acceptable to us or really should be acceptable to anybody. So I 100% support the president's goals here to keep nuclear weapons, to keep the worst weapons of war out of the hands of the Iranians.
Vice President Vance, how many of you echo his remarks? I would ask anyone who's opposed to what Trump is doing right now, do you want Iran to have nuclear weapons? If they say no, well then consider what we're doing is at least a step to prevent them from getting them anytime soon. Soon is a pliable word. And now, because of the blockade that we put in place, although it is being breached in some areas, apparently with U.S. permission, I'll break that down for you in a moment, it is forcing Iran to maybe let's talk some more. There might be new talks, according to Trump, within the next couple of days. So that will put them back at the bargaining table. Now, again, we're not going to continue just prolong this and play ring around the rosy or whatever you want to call it forever and ever. Just not going to happen. And you're going to hear from some who say this is going to damage the world economy. They're already saying it. It's going to damage the American economy. They're already saying it. The proof is we are more resilient in the U.S. than anyone else in the world, because we are pretty well energy independent. China needs that oil from Iran more than any other nation, because while 20% of the world's oil comes through the Strait of Hormuz, 90% of that goes to China. And yet they keep saying, no, Trump's doing this all wrong. I will tell you this, because of where we stand right now, the president's trip to China, which was slated for March 31 through April 2nd, has been indefinitely postponed. Indefinitely. Partly, obviously, because of the blockade. And speaking of the blockade, how is it actually accomplished? We're going to break that down for you as well. Excuse me. Thanks for joining us for hour number one. Larry Connors USA, April 14, 2026. I remind you, with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to know more by the time you finish each hour than you do as we begin that hour. And in fact, coming up in our next hour, Congressman Swalwell, of course, calling off his campaign and ready to step out of Congress, resigning. And that's a Democrat going out. But sexual escapades happen on both sides of the aisle. And Texas GOP Congressman Tony Gonzalez is facing his own crisis on a sexual escapade. He is resigning from Congress. And I'm going to want you to be remembered in the next hour. We'll talk more about it. In 1995, a slush fund was established, basically using federal tax dollars to help cover up any accusations of sexual improprieties involving members of Congress, paying off, basically, victims. We're going to get into that in our second hour. Later this hour, I want you to hear contrarian views. Contrarian views as to what Trump is doing. I think it's important you hear the other side And one of those you're going to hear from would be someone maybe you really liked, even loved previously. Maybe you still do. Maybe you're not sure where you stand. Tucker Carlson. That'll be coming up later in this hour. And our story behind the story. Two St. Louisans in a bizarre plot. Something that sounds entirely fictitious. Two St. Louisans were involved in a plot to steal a nuclear sub. We will have that and the story of the USS Thresher. Our first nuclear sub lost at sea. 130 souls on board. And we still don't apparently really know what happened. We'll go back to that date as well. It happened on this month, 60 years ago. All right, back to President Trump. He's being peppered by questions from reporters about what are you going to do about Iran and the nukes and the blockade and everything else.
What was the sticking point over? You said it was over nuclear.
It was over nuclear. Very similar. Yeah, very good. I guess you're listening. It's over the fact that they will never have a nuclear weapon. Iran, you marking it down? Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. And we agreed to a lot of things, but they didn't agree to that. And I think they will agree to it. I'm almost sure of it. I am sure of it. If they don't agree, there's no deal. There'll never be a deal. Iran will not have a nuclear weapon, and we're going to get the dust back. We'll get it back either. We'll get it back from them, or we'll take it.
Yeah, or we'll take it. In the meantime, there is a report of a third Iran-linked tanker entering the Gulf via the Strait of Hormuz today. As, again, the blockade supposedly is in effect. It involves vessels that will be calling at Iranian ports, going to or coming from them. That's really what the blockade involves. That's why there has been some passage. Fox News on the first ship that got passage overnight.
A Chinese-owned ship passed through the Strait of Hormuz today with the U.S. blockade in place. It's an oil and chemicals tanker that was turned back yesterday, the first day of the blockade, but got through today with success. Now, this tracks with what the president and CENTCOM is saying, which is that the entire Persian Gulf is not blocked. Rather, the U.S. is preventing ships from entering or exiting Iranian ports. An Iranian military spokesperson has been threatening possible retaliation for all this, writing, if the security of Iranian ports is threatened, no port in the Gulf or the Sea of Oman will be safe. The latest report this morning from the International Energy Agency says continued attacks on energy infrastructure here in the Middle East and ongoing restrictions to tanker movements throughout the Strait of Hormuz has led to the largest fuel disruption in history. Initially, these deep cuts in oil came from the Middle East, had a huge impact on sectors like jet fuel. But if things remain as is, this new report says scarcity and higher prices will persist.
It would persist, but I want to remind you again, that is for most of the rest of the world. Unless you're flying from here to Europe and your plane ticket price is going to go up because they need to buy fuel in Europe for a return flight. We are not fully energy independent, but we're getting there once again. We are refilling, restocking our petroleum strategic reserve, the same one that Joe Biden drained in many ways to get votes. Trump is in the process of filling it up, plus the oil we are now getting from Venezuela with Maduro out of the way. China is the one that's going to hurt the worst. Will we see gas prices go up again? Probably. Mortgage rates will probably go up as well. They're all tied together. Yes, some stable food prices will probably go up again. But we're not going to be hurting like the rest of the world. Riddle me this. What is going to hurt you worst? Another nickel a gallon at the gasoline pump or a nuclear bomb in your backyard? You know the answer. And so do I. So how is the blockade working? And in what way, what methodology is being used? Four-star General Jack King.
for viewers to understand, we're not up having a blockade of ships where the Iranian ports are. If you're coming in and your intent is a tanker to pick up Iranian oil and you come into the Arabian Sea further down in the south, that's likely where we contact you and we tell you to park your ship in the Gulf of Oman in a certain place. If you don't do that, then we're going to board your ship and make certain it's parked in that place. If you're coming from an Iranian port in the north and you're heading down towards the Straits of Hormuz, again, we're going to call you on the radio and tell you if you're transporting Iranian oil to stop and turn around. If you're transporting everything else but Iranian oil, you're free to pass. If you continue to come to the Straits of Hormuz, we'll likely let you get through there. And when you get into the Gulf of Oman, we will board your ship and tell you where to park it. That is how the blockade is working.
General Jack King. Now, the Strait of Hormuz, that choke point, about 2 miles wide. If you go south of it, you are in the Gulf of Oman. If you've gotten through the strait and we believe you're headed to China with Iranian oil, that's where you're going to be stopped. If you're coming from the south, from the Gulf of Oman, and going up the Strait of Hormuz into the Persian Gulf, you might be delivering oil to Qatar or taking oil from Qatar, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates. And if you're not going to an Iranian port, we're going to apparently let you pass. Otherwise, we will stop you. So what about this ship that got through? As I said, three vessels were not headed to Iranian ports, so they were not covered by the blockade. One was a Panamanian-flagged medium-range tanker heading to the United Arab Emirates. Prior to that, two U.S. sanctioned tankers passed through. One was headed to Iraq to load fuel, but it showed that the vessel had transported previously Russian and Iranian oil. And you have the other sanctioned tanker, the Rich Starry, making the first pass of the strait and exit the Gulf since it began. And again, that is sanctioned by the U.S., the company and the ship, sanctioned by us because it has been dealing with Iran. Medium-range tanker, 250,000 barrels of methanol. Apparently, it is a Chinese-owned tanker with a Chinese crew on board. That one we apparently decided to let go. There are Americans, and I don't mean just Democrats, questioning what Trump is doing. I think it's important you hear their views. Let's start with Tucker Carlson.
Iran is an economic power. Iran has the power to halt a critical supply chain, maybe the single most critical supply chain in the global economy, which is shipping out of the Persian Gulf. And it retains that power because of its geography. And it's always had that power. It just hasn't exercised it until now. And so not understanding that allows you to enter into an engagement like this with the belief that you can beat them, sink their navy, destroy their air force, degrade their missile capacity, and you will somehow win. But of course, the opposite is true. There is no way out at this point from that fundamental reality. If the United States were to eliminate the central government in Tehran, it wouldn't open the strait. The strait could be closed by piracy. In fact, you need a central government in Tehran to keep the strait open. And we know that from the Houthis, who were able to close the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. And years, many years of war with the Gulf states, briefly with the United States, have not ended the Houthis' ability to close access to the Red Sea. They have it as of right now. So this is an asymmetrical problem. It doesn't matter how many aircraft carriers you have. You still can't prevent other people, your enemies in this case, from closing shipping lanes. It can be done with mines. Like this whole thing, this whole problem is very easy to understand, and you would have to be either not very bright or under immense pressure from another country in order to start a war like this. And the latter is true. We did this because of pressure from Israel.
Pressure from Israel. Tucker Carlson is taking that approach. We're doing it only under pressure from Israel. You really want to ignore the thousands of Americans who have been killed by terrorists funded by Iran? You want to ignore the fact that if Iran has a nuclear weapon, it's not just Israel they're going to go after? All right, anyway, you get to hear his view. I'll give you another one. MS Now pundit Lawrence O'Donnell.
The man who has spent years afraid of the Epstein files and is still blocking the full release of the complete Epstein files, the man who wears silly hats because he's afraid his hair might be blown out of place, the man who's afraid of letting anyone see his natural skin color or his college transcript or his SAT scores, the man who's afraid of falling down the steps of Air Force One, and the man who was very, very afraid of being drafted into the United States Army during the Vietnam War. That man today said he's not afraid of anything. And it could not be more perfect that the question that provoked Donald Trump to tell the lie that he's not afraid of anything, included a reference to Vietnam.
The Iranian regime has told Sky News, if you put boots on the ground in Iran, it will be another Vietnam. Are you afraid of that?
No, I'm not afraid of, I'm really not afraid of anything.
Iran's deputy foreign minister was asked by Sky News today what would happen if U.S. troops invaded Iran, and he said, quote, just read what happened in Vietnam.
All right. That's Lawrence O'Donnell. And he's 74 years old. He never served in the military in any capacity. 74 years old, never served. But mocking Trump. Yes, Trump did have deferments. He got 5 deferments. 4 during his college education years, and a 5th in 1968, a medical exemption apparently for bone spurs. Now I'm not going to debate with you the validity of any of it. It's just that Lawrence O'Donnell pontificating like that never even served in the military. Coming up, my guest on the resignation of Congressman Swalwell and his sexual escapades and the story behind the story, trying to steal a nuclear sub. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying, bless you, after someone sneezes. The German word meaning, wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS, renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS, renewalbyanderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my guest we've had on before, and glad to have him again, Niels Gravelis. We had him on the line. We're reconnecting with him. He is a private investigator. Now, he did not investigate what involved Eric Swalwell and the recent events which led to his resignation. But, man, if you're going to look for someone to dig up dirt on somebody, a private investigator is probably a good idea if you can't get law enforcement to do their job. Joining us now, Niels, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us.
It's my sincere pleasure, Mr. Connors.
Oh, just Larry, sir. Let's just do Larry or Commander Connors, if you want. Never mind. Only joking. Now, you did not investigate any of the allegations against Swalwell. I want to make that clear in the beginning, correct?
That is correct. Nobody came to me with their checkbook open asking me to do bad things to Mr. Swalwell.
But he did it to himself, apparently. We've got allegations of sexual misconduct.
All of his wounds are self-inflicted, I can confirm.
Yeah, that I would agree with. And they're all, we've got allegations from at least four. We're going to get you back again. I do not know. I'm going to blame George Soros again and his minions for getting inside our equipment and constantly interfering with our phone connections with our guest. It's absolutely frustrating. I know it's frustrating to you. It's frustrating to the guest. And it's damn frustrating to me because I'm losing time. I want to go over some questions with him. But again, Niels Gravelis is a private investigator in Los Angeles. We do now have that the Manhattan District Attorney is also going to investigate sexual assault allegations against Swalwell. Members of Congress are asking for the same. And I will take a moment to remind you that a Texas GOP Congressman Gonzalez has resigned, apparently expecting allegations against him. Niels, we've got you back on board. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I think San Fran Man is monitoring our telephone calls.
Yeah, I agree. I think George Soros. So we're talking about allegations from at least four women, including a former congressional staffer, also accusing him of rape, not just molestation and sexual harassment.
I think you've miscounted, Larry. I think you've omitted the transvestite that Democrats consider a woman, and I'm not so sure about.
You're right. I'm so sorry. Thanks for correcting me. Go ahead.
It's my sincere pleasure, Larry.
So go ahead. Let's go through some of the details as we know them.
Well, it's a series of allegations that seem to have some real strength behind them, enough strength that San Fran would throw the boy overboard. That's pretty curious to me. When was the last time you saw the Democrat cult instantly spring into action to throw somebody overboard? They didn't do it to Bill Clinton. They didn't do it to John Edwards. They didn't do it to Keith Ellison. So what's going on here? Well, I think that he probably became a radioactive liability for them.
Yeah, 50 of his big endorsers suddenly withdrew their endorsement, and a billionaire in a mansion where apparently he's been staying booted him out of the mansion.
I was listening to a rather robust and amusing interview of that millionaire just yesterday on John Cobell's show. It was rather amusing to me. That man, live on the air, quit the Democrat cult and said he was joining the Republicans here in California, which is typically like a social death sentence.
Well, the whole thing about Swalwell, you can chase back to his eye caller, the Chinese spy Bang Bang, and his relationship with her and their bed encounters. And I don't think it was just pillow talk. We knew then, and at that time, though, Biden in office and Pelosi is heading up the House, put him on the House Intel Committee. And yet this guy was being subjected to numerous issues with women.
Well, yeah, and the thing with Fang Fang is pretty curious, don't you think, Larry? They all drove his getaway car, and Swalwell was talking big smack up until 2 weeks ago when Kash Patel started talking about maybe declassifying the whole Fang Fang file and letting it hang out there. I mean, wasn't Swalwell demanding immediate transparency on everything Epstein? And then he sends a letter, a cease and desist letter to the FBI, Justice Department, demanding that they not open the Fang Fang files. I think this man has authentic problems, Larry, and it might not just be Congress, his now aborted attempt to be governor of California. I think the man might be looking at maybe some time in Leavenworth. What do you think?
Well, the Manhattan District Attorney is investigating the sexual assault allegations, so that looks like a criminal matter there at that point.
That's correct. That's correct. Now, do you read him his rights under Article 32 of the UCMJ, or do you give him his civilian rights? Oh, that's right. He never wore a uniform.
No,
huh?
I didn't. No, I didn't. But the Me Too era,
probably
the Me Too era, which snared so many people and was used and abused in many cases, and of course, Swalwell was one of those going after Kavanaugh, claiming you don't have four different women come up from four different places with the same story unless there's some truth to it. He's the same guy now that's on the other end of the Me Too.
Well, that's correct. This was a gate, though, that the Democrats only wanted to swing in one direction. For them to use ruthlessly and relentlessly against their opposition, even just making things up, they're always willing to take one for the team. There's always some gyno warrior of the female left willing to step out there and claim that something horrible happened to her, even if it can't be proven 500 years later. I mean, look at E. Jean Carroll and her ridiculous assertions.
Right. Well, the House Ethics Committee also launching a formal probe into these allegations. Now, when they do this, I'm going to say you also have to turn around and look at Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez if you're going to start looking to it, simply because there's another. And then we have this entire slush fund, which I'm going to get into with the audience more in our second hour, which basically was put together back in 1995 under the Congressional Accountability Act, basically paying settlements to any woman or man or transvestite alluding that they were sexually harassed, if not molested, or raped by a member of Congress.
That is correct. This is cryptocurrency on Capitol Hill. Am I missing something, Larry?
No, you're not at all. You're not at all. So if you were assigned or being asked, or if someone wrote you a check to go investigate Swalwell, that would probably be some of the easiest money you've ever made.
Well, all money, easy money, hard money, whatever is good money as far as I'm concerned. I would interview his neighbors. I'd interview his former staffers. I'd interview the people that they introduced me to. Some of them don't like to talk on the record, but they're always willing to point the finger at someone else now, aren't they, Larry?
Yeah, and 50 of the former Swalwell staffers signed a public letter calling the allegations serious and credible, standing with the woman, the first accuser, and urging accountability. And several senior members of his staff have resigned.
That's correct. Now, what was the name of that woman who said that Joe Biden had had gotten a little physical with her? And what was it, Tara Reid? And they all discounted all of those accusations. When that came up, they didn't want to believe all women now, did they?
Well, and it was also him, his word, and her word. But in this case, we've had numerous documentations and numerous repeating of the story, which is what Swalwell was claiming about Kavanaugh as to why he should not be on the Supreme Court. But there was never any proof. The women couldn't even remember the date or the place where it took place.
I think you're correct. I think you're correct. None of it was believable. It was theater of the absurd, Larry, and an affront to the representative republic like the United States of America.
So are we possibly unduly gaining up on Swalwell because he has previously denied all claims, calling them flat false, politically motivated, time to damage his gubernatorial bid?
Well, I don't think that you can defame a piece of excrement, Mr. Connors. I think it's impossible. Legally and ethically, you can't defame something like that. So let it all hang out. He was all for transparency. Man ride the lightning, Larry.
Nils, I'm sorry. You can't say let it all hang out. That this is still a family show. Come on.
I apologize. I was using legal vernacular. I wasn't talking about
Nancy
Pelosi in the locker room.
Nils, I want to thank you for your time. I'm sorry we had trouble in the beginning, but a very entertaining and engaging interview. We'll do it again, sir.
I'm looking forward. I want to wish all of Illinois a fantastic Tuesday, and thank you for lending me your ears and your microphone.
And primarily Missouri, because we have most of our the right and Republican sources here in Missouri. But we got a lot in Illinois, so thank you very much again.
My pleasure. Take care now.
Yes, sir. And I get to be called Mr. Connors. I'll be darned. Coming up, the story behind the story, bizarre as it is.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website napolistl.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And we're down, we go, go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You let your...
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
If you're on a submarine and you hear that, that's dive, dive, dive. They're getting ready to go under the water. And all compartment hatches need to be closed and ready for going how deep, depends on what the mission is. Some of you might recall this story. As bizarre as it is, in fact, I shared it with my brother this last weekend in Texas and told him I was going to be talking about it. And he said, no way, no way that was, no way anybody was planning that. I said, yeah, they were. There were two guys in St. Louis. Their plan was to steal a submarine. Steal a submarine. And then take it out in the somewhere off the eastern seaboard area. And maybe even launch a missile, but certainly sell it to the highest bidder. They had a third guy who's going to help them. We can't operate a submarine with just three guys. But still, it sounds like this is fiction. In many ways it was, but to them it was real. It was real enough that they got charged with it. The two guys in St. Louis, one was a resident of St. Louis at the time, Edward Mendenhall. We're talking about 1978. When he was arrested. And his co-conspirator, also of St. Louis, James Cosgrove. They and another person, Curtis Schmidt, were plotting to steal the USS Trepang. That's a Sturgeon-class nuclear attack sub that was based in New London, Connecticut. Now, that Sturgeon-class was a class of 37 nuclear-powered fast attack subs in our Navy from the 60s until 2004. They were our workhorses of the attack submarine fleet throughout much of the Cold War. Gradually, they got phased out in the 90s. Well, this was 1978, still in the midst of them being used to deal with the possible Cold War actions at any point. The plot, you have to ask, what the hell were they thinking, drinking, smoking? They intended to hire a crew, hijack the submarine from its base in New London. I guess they didn't expect there would be any resistance by Marine guards or even Navy guards on board or at the ramps. They were going to take the submarine and eventually move it off to somewhere in the Atlantic and threaten to hit an eastern seaboard city with a nuke unless they got money, either extorting it from our government or maybe first selling it to a foreign power and letting them take it over. You don't even want to think about what would happen if they'd pulled it off. They were going to need a crew. As I said, you can't use just two guys to make this happen. They will need at least 13 to 15 other guys. No one else got charged, so it's not clear if they had picked out the people they wanted and made any arrangements to use them. But again, in 1978, when the FBI moved in and broke the story, their plan was to steal a nuclear sub and either sell it to a foreign power or use the nuclear missiles to threaten an eastern seaboard city unless our government paid an extortion fee. Well, Mendenhall and Schmidt and Cosgrove all arrested October 1978. What happened then? The charges were later downgraded, partly because even trying to present it to a judge and a jury, it's fiction. How are you going to prove a fictitious story like this? So what they were able to get on them, wire fraud. After it was determined that they did lack the actual capability, much less naval experience, to execute a complex military theft. So in addition to being bizarre, it was stupid in so many ways. Once they got the ship, what were they going to do with it? But again, their plan was to get it, and then, like you're going to hear from this report on the USS Michigan, go to sea.
Today, the missiles on board the Michigan are capable of reaching targets thousands of miles away from here near Puget Sound, or indeed from anywhere in the North Pacific. The exact location of her patrol area is so secret that most of the members of the Michigan's crew have no idea where they'll be going.
Keep the watch. Last man down from the bridge. Hatch secured. Bridge rigged for dive.
Last man down. Hatch secured. Bridge rigged for dive, aye, sir.
After an eight-hour transit on the surface, the Michigan has reached water deep enough for submerging.
Quartermaster, sounding.
Sounding, 85,000.
Very well. Off to the deck. Submerge the ship.
Submerge the ship. Diving officer. Submerge the ship.
Submerge the ship. Dive eye. Chief of the watch.
From the 1MC, pass the word. Dive, dive. Sound two blasts of dive alarm. Pass the word. Dive, dive.
Dive, dive. Dive, dive.
Now, that was an excerpt of a documentary on board the USS Michigan. And see, that's what they were planning to do with a ship that they hijacked out of New London, Connecticut. And of course, they never got out to sea. They never got on the boat. But there's another submarine story I want to share with you. This happened 60 years ago this month when we lost a nuclear-powered sub. Not due to war action. It was the USS Thresher. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
The long search to find the hulk of the atomic submarine Thresher is led by the Bethesda.
The unforgiving nature of the sea was made clear by the tragedy of the Thresher, one of only two U.S. submarines lost since the end of World War II.
Made her last dive and became the watery tomb for a crew of 129 men, 8,000 feet beneath the sea.
Because all 129 men were trapped inside the sub, no one will ever know for sure why she went down.
The Navy photographs the ill-starred sub. In one photo, her number shows clearly. The tales.
You got to remember, flooding in a submarine is a big deal. It doesn't take a very big hole to make a very big problem. And what that did was harden the resolve of the people that build them and the people that operate them that we're going to put the same level of rigor in and quality assurance and control into every aspect of construction of that submarine that we had put only in selected areas earlier on. It really taught us a lesson we've sort of known before. But we were operating at deeper depths than we ever had before, at higher speeds. It was part of the learning curve. Unfortunate.
Unfortunate, and with 129 crew members on board. The Thresher got underway on initial sea trials, sailing out of Maine, 30th of April, 1961. New class of a nuclear-powered sub. Combining the attributes of an attack sub and a special hunter-killer craft. The initial sea trials with Vice President Rickover, head of the Navy's nuclear propulsion program, on board were successful. There were some issues with the instruments. The Thresher was placed in commission 3rd of August, 1961. The principal speaker declared at that commissioning, "The Thresher is not just another ship. The Thresher is totally different." And then less than 2 years later, it was shattered on the ocean floor with the loss of all 129. According to some of the reports that have been written about it, and some of this is from the Navy Times, they had numerous tests and trials and exercises off the Atlantic, going as far south as Puerto Rico. And there they reported they did have issues with the diesel generator and difficulty in restarting the nuclear reactor. They followed with shock tests, subjecting the Thresher to intentional pounding, more than any other submarine in Navy history, and yet she stood up well. In fact, the commander stated there was no question the Thresher suffered damage, but it was all relatively minor. It did not impair our ability to operate. There were more tests. And in mid-July 62, the Thresher returned to the Portsmouth Yard. The crew embarked to meet with their wives, parents, and children. And then they got back on board for what they considered to be a happy cruise. Now, when they were in the shipyard, there were orders to put it under more tests as well. They had a new commander whose star was on the rise. And they were ready to go to fast cruise. Sealed, all equipment that could be was tested. The propellers tested while cables held the submarine fast to the pier. More drills, more tests. Navigation instruments, food, ashtrays, personal belongings, mattress and bedding all brought aboard, preparing for more sea trials. And on the 9th of April of 1963, they started a four-hour countdown for starting up the reactor plant. Later lines were cast off. 12 officers, 96 enlisted men, a submarine force staff officer, three other officers, and 13 civilian employees, plus a specialist for the Naval Ordnance Lab, and three factory reps were on board. She went south into the open seas. East of Boston, did rendezvous with a rescue ship, which would go with her on her trials. That ship carried divers and specialized equipment to help her if needed be. The trailing ship noted that everything appeared to be satisfactory. At one point, the Skylark, which was the other ship, was giving the Thresher her course and bearing, and there was no reply. The Skylark asked, "Are you in control?" No reply. The question asked again, and again, and again, and again. At one point, there was a garbled message ending with the words, "Test depth." And then they heard what a lieutenant commander described as the sound of a ship breaking up, like a compartment collapsing. On the 10th of April, around 1900 hours, the Navy began notifying crew members the ship or their families the ship was overdue, presumed missing. They did not use the terms sunk or lost, suggesting that maybe it was okay, just communications fail. But it was already at the bottom of the sea. A court of inquiry into the Thresher, 2 months of hearing, 1,700 pages of testimony. The most probable cause, flooding in the engine room. Something didn't work, something didn't shut off, something was open. The Thresher went down with 129 souls on board. Tomorrow, the story behind the story, April 15th tomorrow, marks the sinking of the Titanic. The story behind the story tomorrow. Our second hour is yet to come. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Bill. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check VincentsJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.